Yeah, someone's already calling in, though.
Sprint customer 419508512 has sent you a text to landline message. To hear this message, press 1.
What do I do? Do I press 1?
A text? Oh, it was like a written
text
thing?
To landline. I don't know. I guess I'll press 1.
Hey, Troy. How's your butthole? To reply by voice, press 1. To reply by text, press 2. To disconnect call.
$1 million fucking technology, and that's what they use it for. Fucking great.
See you next Tuesday.
You're listening to See You Next Tuesday.
Hey, this is Brian Posehn, and you're listening to See You Next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Caca Levice.
Disciples of Troy Cyple.
Oh, Troy. Poor cool guy, Troy.
There's no way that this guy can have a normal life when you have a penis that big.
Caca Levice, my name is Rat Ammerman, but my friends call me Cool Guy Troy. This is See You Next Tuesday, and we are here recorded live on tape in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And I have a special guest, two actually. They come as a pair usually. Right?
Yeah.
Eric tomorrow and Hope.
Her mic wasn't on.
She's here.
Your mic's...
She's not on, but she's here.
I can turn it on.
She's here. She's in the hangout. Right.
She doesn't want to participate in your fucking show.
Yeah, she said, fuck that. I do one podcast. No, it's all good. So, I have 3 days left until I enter the big house. It's not a big old house.
That is
actually, it's very small.
I was going to say.
My accommodations will be very small.
Over at the resort.
So I've been podcasting like a motherfucker. This will be the third one in a week.
It's an all-inclusive resort, right?
Yeah. I like to think of it as sleepaway camp because you make buds and... You know,
sex with butts.
Yeah, butts.
Yeah.
You know, new experiences.
Right, that's what I meant. I mean, let's be honest, it's not new for you.
Plastic furniture.
Here.
Thin mattresses. I could go
Bad
on.
Bad coffee.
I can go on. But, so that's happening. So, I'm putting, it's like, what was that movie where the dad gets cancer and he makes videos to show his child?
Anal Intruder 7.
Yes, that one.
No? No, that was 6.
No, that was the dramatic version.
Right.
There was a movie where the guy gets cancer, so he starts
Breaking Bad.
Selfishly filming himself.
I don't know anything about this.
This was from early 90s, maybe. I feel like it was Tom Hanks.
Yes, I Love You. So that was a guy that died, Irish guy. And it was letters.
No.
Not video.
This isn't working.
No. Only because I don't know the movie.
Yeah, no. It was a roundabout thing anyway, about the sleepaway camp, but here we are. We have no game plan tonight. We're just going to free ball. So
I'm cleaning up my desk as you talk.
We're just...
I never get time to do this.
Up, making sure all the equipment's working for the Wednesday night show.
That's right, the big show.
I'm quality control. So, Eric.
Yes?
I would consider you one of... a pioneers of podcasting.
I prefer podcast luminary. But if you want to say pioneer,
is there a podcast Illuminati?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but yeah, there totally is,
like,
and I'm in
group.
Fucking charge of that.
Totally.
I don't know.
Anyway, you went to school for audio engineering.
Yep.
And so you had a working knowledge of how to record yourself, why did you start recording yourself?
Well, I always loved talk radio, big time talk radio fan my whole life. Like, and I think that, and I've probably crossed this bridge before, but it's when my dad, when I was a kid, listened to a lot of talk radio and a lot of news radio, which is a form of talk radio. And, So that just kind of became radio to me. Like the music top 40 radio was not now, really radio to me.
At that age, did you have a preference as far as like the news or the political shit or like...
I loved KYW. I loved talking like news radio in Philadelphia. We have a legendary news radio station. And so my dad always listened to that. And then he'd listen to some other political stuff. My dad's a little right wing, though. Not, I mean, not like super right wing, but he's definitely Republican.
Conservative, yeah.
And he, yeah, he's definitely conservative. So it was, also he looks like the guy from Jurassic Park.
Which, who, knew
I don't know. The guy that wears the short sleeve, like Sipowicz shirts.
Oh.
And the crazy hat.
Yeah, yeah. That oh, guy. Yeah.
So anyway, no, but you know, like, and that just became radio to me. And I loved Stern when I was a...
Yeah, me too.
I mean, young, like sixth early grade, high school, middle school. Yeah.
My mom wouldn't let me listen. I had to like turn it down or headphones.
I think my dad was okay with it. I mean, he wasn't a big, he didn't like Stern. He was never a Stern fan, but like he liked talk radio. So he's like, hey, this is your talk radio. I kind of think he respected it because I think he respected talk radio as a whole. So I just, I kind of got into that. And I was really into music too, but like the music part of radio never really appealed to me because I didn't like the stuff that was on the radio.
No.
You know what I mean? I like the punk rock stuff and that was never on the radio. I liked college radio. We listened to Cabrini and Villanova and all that stuff. We couldn't get Westchester where we live.
Was
but
there XPN back in?
It was around.
Cause I never discovered that till like I started dating hippie chicks.
Well, and there was another station. There was a Trenton station that we could get sometimes at night.
Yeah.
And then there was the one, I don't remember what school it was. But there was another college. It was a West Philly, one of the West Philly. I don't know if it was Penn. I think it was Penn's radio station that had a few punk rock shows, and we'd listen to that too. And like late at night, you could hear it.
Those
barely.
Were probably the forerunners. The college radio were probably the forerunners of podcasting as far as the independent aspect of it.
I listen to Westchester radio now. Now that we're in Westchester, I listen to it. It's actually pretty good sometimes.
Oh, the
now currently the college radio.
Get that in Downingtown. Do you think the band frequencies?
I think you could probably get it in Downingtown. I'll have to look it up. It's a preset on my truck.
I don't need that on the information on the show.
But anyway, so I got into it then, and then you know I went to school for audio engineering and did more of the back end stuff. Like,
was your goal? Like, did you want to like be a mic? Like
studio engineer?
Okay,
like that was my shit. I really because I like the recording. Part more than the live sound. Live sound for a while.
Yeah.
Because there's more money in live sound. It's hard to get started in the studio, but you can make pretty good money starting out in live sound.
Yep.
And then once you get to be running a crew in live sound, then you're making awesome money.
Yeah. It's like being a pimp. Almost. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Except long shitty hour. Oh, I guess pimps maybe have that too.
Dan, the guy who opened the restaurant, went to Full Sail for engineering.
Oh, did he really?
And worked in live sound for years, but the company was in Philly,
right?
And it was mostly corporate work.
Yeah, that's so what we did a lot
him,
of.
It made him hate that business.
Yeah, it helps. Mm-hmm. It can't work for one of those places. We did a lot of political. We did remember when the Republican National Convention was in Philly.
Yeah.
Well, in 7 days, we had over 120 shows, like little rooms and big rooms and the big party.
And you're hauling
GOP
and wiring and
24 hours a day. It was brutal.
He started hating it, and his boss would be driving home from Philly and his boss would be like, oh, I got this other thing came up and would have to drive back to the city.
Yeah. I got a fucking wedding. Mm-hmm. You got to go do.
Cause he needs to make that contract, you know, right. Whatever.
Right. And so the company I worked for did a lot of political and corporate shit and that was cool. I mean, it paid the bills, but it was soulless. It was awful.
And it's a physical job and tedious.
And you're working late nights and you're away for weeks at a time. And
at their beck and call.
Yeah. So, I did that for a while, made some decent money. And then after 9/11, that whole industry, live sound, like took a big hit.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of people, the company that I worked for, the size of the shows they were doing were big venues, big outdoor venues, stadiums, shit like that.
And shit got so scary.
People got scared. No one wanted to have big events for a while. Yeah. So that was, and that company was operating on the fucking... the razor's edge the whole time anyway. So then that kind of pushed it over the edge. And that's where I met Nate the Beard. He worked there. He was an accountant for there and he'd come out shaking his head. Like you better go cash that motherfucker quick. Cause there's not enough money for everyone.
At least he tipped you off.
Yeah.
When did you, I don't want to, you know, blow up too much of your spot, but when did you graduate from Full Sail?
In 99.
Okay.
So there was a long gap.
And you lived there in Winter Park?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They had an apartment down there. They didn't have, apparently they have student housing there now. They didn't when I lived there.
When I was looking at it, they had started to build it. Yeah. But anyway. So how long did you do the audio gig?
99 to, I mean, 2001, I worked full time at that place. Then after that, I was still doing small clubs in Philly, in and around Philly.
You would DJ at the Kyber.
I DJed at the Kyber for several years. Yeah.
Pretty cool club in Philly.
And did sound. I did sound for the shows downstairs too.
Right.
There.
Because upstairs for the listener, there's like a lounge and a DJ.
A bar, full bar up there.
Yeah. And then downstairs is more like a small to mid-sized club.
Definitely rock small club. Rock venue. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like one small room. So, and very loud. But yeah, because the bar's off to the side, all the sounds. Anyway.
Did sound there. Did sound at the truck a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
The upstairs version of the truck, same size as the Kyber.
Yeah.
And same shape. Manhattan room. I worked there for a long time, and I was the Thursday, Friday, Saturday sound guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have off the rest of the week. And I just filled in with like freelance gigs and DJing and doing
with
small
DJing,
venues.
What? Because I know your taste in music. What would you play DJing? Would you play like club music if you're
at the end of the night? I would
like whatever.
I'd start off with punk and hardcore,
mm-hmm.
and I brought my vinyl with me. Sometimes I do vinyl of the old punk and hardcore. If there are people there paying attention, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd plug my iPod in and I go stand at the bar and drink
mm-hmm.
and listen to a playlist,
yeah.
which was fine with me. It was fine with everybody. But by the time it got later and people started coming in, then I started actually doing,
start off
with 80s stuff and then old school hip hop stuff. Mm-hmm. And I played some newer hip hop stuff only on when people were like begged me for it.
Yeah. And you can survey a crowd and kind of judge. So that's cool.
It was fun.
I would do that if for money. I mean, the money's.
It was good. It was decent.
Yeah, right.
It was decent. It was cash. And
for
it was
the amount of time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it was one of those things is like then you're getting home at. At 4 a.m.
All hours, yeah.
And then when I worked, I was working a day job at the same time.
It's a second job.
Dude, it was brutal.
Yeah.
So that kind of outlived its welcomeness. And it was, I just stopped abruptly. Actually, what they wanted, it got to the point where I had done it for 3 years for the same money.
Right.
And more people were there. So I was like, hey, guy, you could probably pay me more money now that I'm packing this place on a Sunday fucking night. And he was not interested.
Especially when you're making him money. That's bullshit.
So he was not interested in paying me more. He was like, well, you need to bring more people if you want more money. And I'm like, then I'm out.
What's been happening for the past? Yeah.
So then I left and someone else took over.
Where were you? Did you ever live in the city?
No. I drove from
Darby,
Havertown, Upper Darby. I don't think I ever did it when we lived in Upper Darby.
Yeah.
So it was always Havertown, 2 miles away, two mm-hmm. miles different. So.
All right. So then... you started this show, the mediocre show, and from what I've read, it was an extension of like you started doing like t-shirts, right?
Yeah, I was doing BMX clothing, t-shirts and hoodies and hats and mm-hmm. stuff. And then, podcasting like started becoming, I mean, it was around a little bit before that. This was 2005. And it was right after they put it in iTunes when it came to my forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was around before that, but.
Like, they weren't talking about it when you were in school.
It didn't exist then.
Yeah,
no.
That would have been a couple of years before.
People were doing it. I mean, there were people doing online radio, but it was never what a podcast or what it turned into being. And then, then I found, like, iTunes added it to the thing. And the first, like, I'm like, what is this? And I listened and it was...
what was the first one do you remember?
Yeah, no, I absolutely do. It was Kevin Seconds.
Kevin, I don't think
punk rock from the band 7 Seconds.
Oh,
the singer.
Oh, right, sure.
It was a show he did. It was just him driving around with like a fucking dictaphone almost,
really?
Driving around in his car talking about his day. And it couldn't be more fucking boring. The guy was just talking about he was opening a like a coffee shop at the time, him and his wife,
and his mundane whatever.
It was real mundane, but I mean, I was fascinated. I'm like, hey, this is like
some dude driving to work.
Yeah, it was like the zine, like punk rock fanzines of radio, and I thought that was fucking great.
Yeah,
so I started doing it by myself, and that was
with what equipment?
I mean, I had GarageBand at the time. I just had GarageBand. I had
I started my first few episodes.
Sure, SM58s laying mm-hmm. around. So I did that. And I mean, the first few, the quality was really bad. And then I got a better mixer and
eventually
Pro Tools. And yeah.
And then how did Taylor come into the fold?
Well, I did one episode and it was abysmal because it was just me like,
I don't think I've heard the first one. The first one I heard was when your neighbors come in.
So that was number two.
And a good number two. I haven't heard the first one then.
Yeah. So the first one was bad. I mean, I took it out of the feed a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, mine's there. Mine's fucking.
I took it right out. It's brutal. And then I had them. I was like, you know, I was like, you guys want to do this thing with me? And it was like, I'll just interview you, like kind of hang out. And then so we did and it was fun. And then I thought, like, I need a full-time co-host, and I thought of Taylor, was out in Portland, and we did it over Skype for years. And they actually, my upstairs neighbors, Robin and Brian, they had their own show for a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like after they did the show with me, they're like, we should do our own show, and then they did a show for a while, too.
So, actually, to back up a little bit, how did you figure out, like, all the hosting and the RSS feeds?
It was like a wild west back then, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, emailing people.
It took me a while to figure it out, and I started mine in 2010.
Yeah.
So
it was crazy back then because I didn't know what an RSS feed. I didn't know what an XML file was.
Exactly.
But there weren't programs that cut them for you.
Yeah. Now they'll come do the steps for you now.
Right. I use Feeder, which is an app that just does everything for you. Mm-hmm. But back then you had to hand code it. So you'd find, I found another show and I looked at their feed and I copied it and then plugged in my own information and had to mess with it for a while to get it right. And then, you know, actually a couple times submitted in iTunes was like, this isn't a legit feed. And I'm like, fuck, what did I do wrong? Oh, I had to figure it out.
Anything in the code that was wrong?
Yes. One little thing back then, one little thing could throw the code off and they're like, it's not working.
That's why these sites like Podomatic and Libsyn exist and have thousands of podcasts.
Because it was so hard to navigate and to figure out. And then I remember the first 10, 15 episodes didn't have album art because I couldn't figure out how to get album art onto it.
Mm-hmm. Cause you would have had to code that. See, for me, it's like, would you like to include a picture? Upload a picture. But you would have had to hand code it?
Well, no, it turns out later I found out that you could add album art to any MP3 with iTunes. And I still do it that way to this day because that's the only way I know how to do it.
Right.
So, but it was back then there was like a couple forums, like there was Podcast Alley had some forums.
Yeah.
There was another one.
Are you guys on there?
Yeah. We've been on there from back in the day, early episodes. You can hear us beg for votes on there.
Yeah.
There was forums there and you'd be like, hey, how do I make this happen? And some dude was like,
and some confused me about it. So I said, fuck it. I don't need it.
Yeah. You didn't need it. Is the deal. But back then you didn't have, like, you'd find someone on there that was helpful and you send them a private message. You're like, dude, I can't figure this out.
It was like social networking for podcasting.
Okay. Yeah, but it was just a forum. It was like an old school, like bulletin board style forum.
Like a message. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, you know, you just have to get guys to help you out and then you get their email address and you'd be like, how do I do this?
You helped me out. I called you a bunch of times when I was starting out and it's cool. Like the whole, I guess it's, you know, a punk rock aesthetic. It's like, we're doing it ourselves, but you still help the other guy out. As long as they're decent people and it's not a horrible show.
As long as they don't.
I don't want to help out a horrible show.
No, but it's also a thing about if they come to you with a humble request of like, hey, I can't figure this out. Can you help me with this?
Yeah.
Versus, I want to start podcast. Tell me how to do that.
Approach,
well, no, fuck you, dude. I'm not going to tell you how to. You shouldn't have one.
Yeah. I'll be the asshole. I'll say like a lot of your listeners start podcasting just because, I don't know. You make it sound so easy.
But then they fall off. The ones that aren't committed to it are just going to fall off anyhow.
Yeah.
So
it's a, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'll still help people out. If they're cool about it and they ask in a very cool way, I'm there. I'll help them out.
Somebody knock?
No.
Is that just.
Sorry. but it's just that's one of those things, man. If you're humble. And the way you ask is in a cool way. Like, I was very cognizant of that. Is that the right word?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sweet. I was like, I almost sounded smart there. I was like, you know, hey, man, like, I'm trying to do the show. I can't figure out how to make this hosting work and all that. And there
just
weren't
one little nugget.
One little fucking line of code that was wrong. And there was guys back then, if you're familiar with Nobody Likes Onions, that show, he made a thing. He made a website that would check your feed. And tell you if it was right or not. I forget what it was called now, but you could put your feet on there and it will come back with what errors were there.
Oh, wow. I don't even think that's around anymore.
Like
the Podomatics that do it, just do it. That's cool though. So you started in 2006.
Five. Yep.
And here you are, 400.
415. I think this week is going to be 416.
Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
And actually, now that I think about it, if this helps you, it makes people feel better. My first episode was recorded 2 months before I figured out how to get it online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same here. I recorded four before, like a month or so before.
I think that was one of the things I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, do four and then do number one because my number one is terrible and I don't want people to fucking hear it.
Yeah. Because it, like anything, the first time you pick up a guitar, you're not going to play a fucking Van Halen song.
Right. I mean, I will.
I hope that no one does anyway, but, so who built the website originally?
I think Taylor built the first one.
Yeah.
I've never been able to do that. And I, to this day, can't do it. That's
a big drawback for me because I can't afford to pay someone.
I think Taylor did the first one for a while. And then we got an email out of nowhere from a listener. Hey, I've been listening to you guys for a while. Your website is terrible. And I said, yes, that's true.
Yeah,
and he said, and he goes, well, I'll build you this website. And it's the guy, Kevin Bratz, who's been doing our website for a long time.
And oh, he's
the one that's redesigned. Every time there's a redesign, he's the one that does it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Mike updates what we have.
I was going to say, like, when you open, you see, like, the week's episode, Mike adds that stuff.
And he's tweaked it and fixed some little bugs and stuff like that. And I never had anyone that could do a great website that was on the show before Mike. So it was Kevin was always just like, hey, I'll do this website for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it on the side. I mean, he never charged us a thing.
That's fucking awesome.
That banner was, he sent that back in the day, like before he even did the first website.
That's fucking awesome.
He made us that. So there's been a lot of like, that's another thing is like the listeners have been, they're gracious and they're helpful and
so helpful. And if it like, they're so nice to each other, your audience helps people out within, you know, the nation, it's called the Mediocre Nation. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you know, one of you will tweet, somebody needs something on Twitter and like in 5 minutes they'll have it.
Yeah. It's staggering.
It's really amazing. You built like a little, I don't want to call it a social network, but it
community. We also built this city on rock and roll, but besides that, it's definitely a community.
It's cool. It's cool to see. Cause I've been to all the live shows, been part of them.
Yeah.
And, it's always cool because you have a very diverse group of people, but there's never any static between anybody.
I don't remember any. I try to push there to be beef, and there's never beef.
Drunken parties too. Every single one of them, drunken parties, and it's all love, and that's so cool.
I've been trying to get listeners to have even a verbal fight for years, and I can't get it to work out.
Shit.
Dude, I try every time someone says something like, actually, that guy was wrong. I'm like, yeah, fucking tell him nothing. They're just like, oh, no, I love him. It's cool.
It's all good, man. So, Taylor, he were doing the show remotely.
Right, yeah, via Skype.
And then he decided to become a roadie, right?
Well, before that, he moved to Philly. He didn't have anything going on. I mean, he had been laid off at his job in Portland.
From Portland?
Yeah, grew up in Oregon City. And he had been laid off, and he was like, well, I got nothing doing here. And that was right around the time of the Sirius thing.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, well, maybe I'll just move to the East Coast. And if anything happens with Sirius, I'll already be on the East Coast. Well, like no big deal.
Talk about that. Well, yeah.
So he moved out here and he got an apartment, a really ghetto apartment in Philly, South Philly.
Yeah.
And he was here for a little while I don't even think it was a year. It might not have even been a year.
That's it.
And he didn't like it. He just missed Portland. I mean, have you ever been to Portland, Oregon?
Uh-uh.
I miss it. I've never lived there. It's a great,
I'd like to go. There's a helium out there.
You would love it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all the comedians I listen to fucking adore that place.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's one thing, but, all right. So he hated Philly. Oh wait, the serious thing. How did that come about?
Well, I think it was 06, maybe February of 06.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I have a friend that worked for, he was an editor for Maxim Magazine, and he knew that I did the show, and he emailed me and he said, hey, do you, Actually, I think he hit me up on AOL Instant Messenger. How awesome is that?
Yes.
And he was like, hey, dude, are you still doing the podcast?
So many late nights on AOL.
Yeah. ASL. I was like, what do you mean, dude? And, he hit me up on there. He's like, hey, are you still doing the podcast? Yeah. I mean, it's only been like 6 months. He's like, yeah, I'm still doing it. And he was like, cool. Like, we want to do, you know, our editor, the big editor wants us to have a story on podcasting. So can we interview you for that?
That was pretty early for, Maxim is a young staff.
It was very young staff.
So
they were all my age, and that was 6 years ago.
Right. Right, right.
And now they've all moved on to bigger and better, but he was, he called and he's like, hey, dude, I don't know any podcasters. And rather than just picking one at random, I know you and I know you do one. Can we interview you for the magazine? Yeah, of course. He's like, all right, cool. A writer's going to call you. So then a guy called us and interviewed us. And I mean, that's on our website. You can see that article and stuff, but it was fun, man. It was exciting.
That is.
We thought a lot bigger things were going to happen based on that, but it didn't. I mean, we got a lot, we got more listeners though. We've still gotten emails about it.
Yeah.
It's
definitely not a bad thing.
No, I mean, huge circulation like crazy. Of course we blew it up in our brains to be a lot bigger than it ever would have been because the disconnect of going from reading something in a paper magazine to going and looking it up online.
Yeah, but I can relate to that as another starting my own show from nothing. Every little like accolade, every little thing that someone sends, like really fucking, it makes you feel fucking good because no one pushed this. No big company pushed this for you. It was
all
you.
Independent. Yeah.
It was you.
And so that was, I mean, that was a good, that
and
was
that's
a good
not
push.
Cocky. That's no. Like you put in the work and you get in Maxim magazine sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes early on before we really deserved it. I feel like if there was a thing now with us in a magazine like that, it would do us a lot more justice because I think it's a more polished show.
I have an issue like that with my comedy, like, which is why I didn't want the video of the most recent live show.
Sure.
Because the other one, the first one was fine because I think that went really well.
Yeah, I did.
But I don't want to put something out that where I feel like, I mean, I did shitty and I don't want that to represent that material forever. Like,
right.
I go back and tweak that for months and months,
Sure.
You
yeah,
know.
For sure.
And, that's the thing with YouTube. Anyone can have their smartphone in a comedy club filming a guy.
Yeah.
And what if it's Louis walking out with, it's the day after he filmed his special and, you know, he tosses his whole hour away and starts,
right, yeah.
What if he's just saying his premises and then that goes on YouTube and now you think like, oh, Louis sucks now. Did you hear this horrible, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying.
So,
yeah, I feel like that was a window in time where if someone, it was really early in podcasting. So people are like, podcast, what's that? It sounds hard to do.
It's still slightly obscure, but I think
every day it gets a little bit
every
more.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm the fucking boss. Also, but
sidebar.
All right.
That guy, I'm a boss, Rick Ross.
Yeah, fucking love him. Yeah.
You love him?
Yeah.
He's hilarious. This is not news, but I read this somewhere. It came out. He raps about selling drugs. Being
sure,
a gangster.
Yeah, he's not a gangster in any way.
He was a corrections officer.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I think that's the greatest thing ever.
Like a boss.
Like a screw. You know, that's your people's term.
Sorry about that.
But anyway, like I feel like now that a story like that would do us a little more justice. Only because like people, it's a little easier for a lot of people have an Apple device now.
And yeah, that and podcasting is much more widespread.
Yeah.
And
so anyway, that's it. But hey, it was a big bump back then. And then, you know, from that, the guy there was at that point, Maxim had their own station on Sirius.
Right.
So they were like, hey, you know, one of their shows was let go.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey,
what
we
was
need
the
another
other
show.
Content?
It was Frat Boy Radio. All of it.
I think because I had Sirius back around then and I didn't really fuck with Maxim that much. But
yeah, no,
hearing some just college radio.
It was white. I mean, it was white hat. It was grown up college.
Yeah.
Radio. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it, but that wasn't. that wasn't us. I mean, we really wanted it though. And it turns out, yeah. So anyway, the program director goes like, "Hey, those guys you had in that article on podcasting,
why not?
You think they would be interested in trying out, like auditioning?" And he's like, "Yeah, they fucking would, big time."
Mm-hmm.
So we did, and we went up there and did a 2-hour show. It was a blast, dude. Mm-hmm. And that was, we weren't doing live shows then. We never did a live show.
Is that on the website?
I think it's in the archives. I think you can get to it from the archives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. It was me and Taylor, and then that really lit a fire under my ass to take it more seriously, because then it was just like, "Hey, we're farting, dick and fart show."
Yeah.
We'll go to the fucking podcast expo in California. That'll be a hoot. And, but then we were like, yeah, now, you know, I kind of started taking it more seriously after that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time we took a live call.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, live call is great. Yeah. I want to do that more. Yeah. So they kind of pushed us to take it more seriously. And they went with another guy who later turns out, I find out he's the one that got the job. He was a writer for Maxim, but also friends of friends of mine. He was a writer for Maxim magazine.
He works there?
He worked for Maxim magazine.
Separate.
And then he tried out also for Maxim radio. They went with him. I had emailed back and forth with him later going down the road and stuff. I'm like, "How's that going?" He's like, "Thank God you didn't get it, because it's a soulless fucking job."
Really?
And he hated it. Yeah.
So he's not doing that anymore?
No, he doesn't. I don't think he broadcasts at all anymore.
Mm.
It kind of killed his will. Like he's like, "I really don't like this."
The corporate structuring?
No, just what they wanted. It was they wanted
specific.
They wanted
things.
You to talk about doing girls and drinking like
Preston
apple fucking teenies.
They wanted to make it Preston and Steve. And
yeah. So he, you know, I mean, maybe that would have been a real bad thing for us. Who knows if we'd even still be doing it, because he got that whole station when the merger happened, that station got axed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist anymore. So.
Well, and it definitely got you more exposure and stuff.
Yeah. And a paycheck would have been nice though.
Yeah. Oh, you got
admittedly
nothing. For
nothing.
The
it was, we auditioned. It was a 2-hour audition. And we had to fight them tooth and nail to get the copy of it, even.
What sucks about that is, you know, an actor gets paid for filming a pilot, and the pilot doesn't even have to get on the air. They get paid.
Yeah, it's a different beast.
Yep. But you provided a service.
Yeah, well, it was an audition.
It is what it is.
It was an on-air audition, yeah, and they made that very clear up front. So. Mm-hmm. But it was a blast. We had a great time.
And wasn't there a Mastodon story from that trip?
Yeah, we hung out with Mastodon later that night.
Sludge metal band, if you don't know.
Yeah, Mastodon. Because the singer stiffed us on cab fare.
Yeah, he's kind of a drunk, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the guy that got beat up
face,
at the
head
MTV
tattoos and stuff.
Awards or something?
Probably.
I like Mastodon.
I like their music. Entirely, but the guy stiffed us on cab fare, and I'm kind of still pissed about it.
They have a new album. In your honor, I'll add the end song. The title is "The Curl of the Barrel."
I like it. That sounds like that dude.
So that'll be the outro music. But oh yeah, he stiffed you, lead singer of a band, a touring band, signed. And he just left the taxi?
Yeah, just
How
got out.
How did you get in a taxi with...
we were hanging out with him at a bar.
Brent?
Brent, yeah.
Hines?
Or Bent, Brent, Bent, Bent. I don't know if I can know. Brent, I think it was Brent.
Yeah.
Or Brett. I don't know which one. But yeah, we were hanging out with him. He was friends with a mutual friend of ours.
Okay.
And we were like, "Oh, we'll go over to this other bar." And he's like, "Yeah, I'll ride in the cab with you guys. Like, I gotcha."
And just...
Just stumbled out of the cab and was gone. We were like, "Hey, all right, cool. I guess we got this."
Yeah.
We had no money to our names. Like, it was a rough night.
Up?
Who?
In Sirius?
No, no. We stayed with our friend Liv.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, if you ever see the picture of Taylor wearing the oven mitt and the Viking helmet.
Yeah.
That's where that was from.
Okay. So how much longer was Taylor on then after that? Like, you come back here, just keep doing
He moved
that.
Back to Portland. I don't remember if when he moved back to Portland. I feel he
stopped doing the show or not.
I don't, no. I think he moved back to Portland and we kept doing the show. Someone else would probably know this answer better than I. But I think
it's funny. People ask me shit about my show and I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, it's been a long 6 years.
Yeah, it's not like I re-listen to the stuff.
No, and in fact, hope you probably remember, Taylor did do the show after he went back to Portland. Yeah, because we were still doing it via Skype, but then we started. Then I wanted to move into live after I got a real bug to do the live show when we did the Maxim thing, and then after a
Is
while,
that, oh, so you never had done live
That was the streaming first. No, that was the first time. Maxim was the first time we ever did anything live. And I was like, I want to do that live. I want to do that live. Logistically wasn't working out with Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just didn't have the gear. Now I could do it, but we didn't have the gear to do it then. So I was like, and then he got an offer to go on tour with, some terrible girl metal band in this moment. He was going to take over for their merch.
Did he start dating one of
their sound, their engineer? Yeah. Their tour manager. So he started dating her, but was their merch girl.
Bad for business.
I don't know how that all worked, but anyway, he was doing merch for a while and then he got moved up to a guitar tech and then he went to work for 36 Crazy Fists and
Exodus or something.
Not Exodus. Napalm Death.
Yeah.
A few other really, really good bands.
Yeah.
And so he was like, hey, I'm going to go on the road.
Stuff like that?
No, not at all. He's back in Portland. I think he's working on motorcycles now.
How's that road money? If you're a guitar tech, how's that?
It's good. I mean, it's good money.
You're on the road and
you get a per diem. You're not spending much because you're always in a venue, especially these big, he was on big stadium tours and festivals and stuff. So everything's paid for. Everything's taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Napalm Death toured small venues.
Really?
Yeah. Like Crocodile Rock. Yeah. In Redding?
They are old school.
Allentown.
Oh, yeah. Croc Rock. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they didn't play big venues. That band's been a band for 30 years.
I know. Yeah.
Rob Zombie and that was a big.
He did that one.
He did that tour, with Oz, and that was pretty cool. We went and saw him at the First Union Center, the Spectrum,
mm-hmm.
in Philly. That was cool, but then he couldn't do the show anymore, and that's when Matt came in.
Right.
So
we won't talk about no.
But yeah, that was the thing is like we couldn't, once Matt came, then we started doing live shows. And then from there on, it was like no more pre-recording.
When Matt came in, I think the spirit of the show changed too. Because
it's different dynamic. It was a very totally different dynamic. Different,
and you guys knew each other. And this is not a slight against Taylor.
Right.
But you two had fucked around with each other for years and years.
Sexually.
And years. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've known Matt since the sixth grade. Since the first day of sixth grade. So it was very different dynamic. Mm-hmm. I mean, Taylor and I had been friends, but it was more. I grew to know more about Taylor through the show than I knew him in real life. Cause he always lived in Portland. I mean, we talked and we hung out every now and again, but.
And I feel like Matt engages the listener in a slightly different way.
More aggressive manner.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
people like that. People like that. That's
people
why
loved
people
it.
Like Kid Chris and shit like that and Howard Stern and stuff like that. Maybe not that Kid and Sparks is like that type of jock, but that attitude I think is what they like. So man, so he was there for a year,
more than two years,
and the show steadily grew. And
the show's never gone backwards. That's one thing, good thing I can always say. The show's never gone backwards. There's certain times of the year where there's lulls, but if you look at the yearly numbers, it's always grown every
are there
year.
Specific times, like are there lulls? Like at
the summer it lulls.
The same times?
Yeah, the summer it lulls, and like big time the summer.
Is
that
because people are doing
they're out
other
doing
shit,
man. Yeah. They got shit to do, and then they kind of get cold and shitty, and then they're like, I want about these podcasts. Oh, look at that. Oh, I remember these guys. And then they have months of back episodes, so the numbers spike again because they're getting all the back episodes too.
Yeah.
So it's like if you look at the problem I always faced as a podcraftist was that I looked at immediate numbers and I got real bummed and I became real obsessed with numbers.
I do. I did when I started out. I stopped looking for a while.
I look once a week when I upload the show because that's,
I used to check every day when I first started every day.
I'll tell you this. I used to check 7-8 times a day and see what was going on. But then it was all consuming and
it's
stopped
obsessive. Yeah, yeah.
Because then when I realized, if you look at the long picture, it grows. It keeps growing.
It can't go down.
Ups and downs are like,
unless your feed disappears or something.
Right. Or you go to jail.
Yeah.
And, but not, I'm just, that's just hypothetical.
Just spitballing.
Yeah. But yeah, if you look at the long progression, it grows. It doesn't ever, we've not ever had a part where we dipped real far down and couldn't come back out of it.
Why didn't you ever have a live show with Matt during the Matt? It just never came.
It never occurred to me until later.
Yeah.
To go like, wait, we could do this live.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a real serious problem emotionally.
You didn't think people would show up.
I had a fear of people not showing up.
I would. I know I would.
Like a big time fear of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally it just came to a head and we're like, hey, we've been doing it this long. Like we should just do it.
Yeah.
And I think the lady was just like, just fucking do it. She's like, people are going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, and in fact, I think you go and you're like, Paul and Troy will be there. Yeah. And I was like, good enough.
That's all that mattered. Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
My sister's friend has a JFDI tattoo right here.
I like that.
Actually, he started a business called an Indie Hall in Philly.
Okay.
It's where you pay $25 a month and you get it's like a work co-op. Like you can do whatever job you do, but you're working with other people if you have a question. And there's a picture of her in Philadelphia Magazine in this article, but this dude, he was at the live show.
Really?
He came with my sister. He started this, Indie Hall, which is a really cool idea for like people with web jobs, like, and you need some function that you can't do. Like if you need hosting and you know how to make a website, there's a dude sitting next to you and it's cool. People drink beer while they're working and it's just
cool. So it's like a business, like a business
like,
co-op.
It's like the office of Facebook. Or
very cool. Where do you Google. Know roughly where it is? Is it on 6th Street?
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I know our friend
Indie Hall or Independence Hall, but spelled as in independent, like the skateboard truck company.
Our friend works at Johnny Shipbox works for a video production company, and it's down in Philadelphia. And it's a building that's very similar to that. It's all creative type people that are all in the same joint.
It's so cool, man. I mean.
Nah, it's not. It's not the same place, but that is cool.
It's not?
Nah. I think he's on 6th.
Indie Hall. Co-working Philadelphia.
Very cool.
Co-working is more than just space.
Nice. So this is just like a big building that happens to be office spaces. It's not. I don't think the one John's at is, I think, very different from this.
Okay.
But it just happens to be a lot of creative in the building.
Yeah. And this kid's my age who started it, and he speaks at he won some award. He's like a
major award.
A major accolade. And he spoke in Berlin at like a tech, either a tech or a marketing consortium. I don't know.
Very cool.
I'm talking at my butt. Back to the mediocre show. The comments.
Let's talk about me more.
Yeah. Well, we had a thread going.
Yeah.
So, Matt does 2 years.
Yeah.
And, he has a life. He
does a stretch.
It's like some people have lives. And he had to leave for personal reasons.
Professional reasons. I mean, I think we've been... Well, he got a promotion at IHOP and really couldn't be doing the show.
Yeah, fry cook.
Yeah. So he went along and luckily it kind of coincided perfectly with...
Can we talk about how you went about...
Our good
presenting
friend
presenting that to the listeners.
What do you mean?
If I
make a phone call real quick, will you promise me you'll fucking edit it out?
Oh yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
So you talk a little bit about how you went about presenting to the listener how Matt left.
All right. Well, so anyway, I think it was in March when Matt realized that he couldn't do the show any longer. And he was like, well, I'm going to be done real soon here. And it was like, I'll be done mid-March because I got to start my new job. So
did it break your heart?
Yeah, it did. It made me a little upset because I didn't know where I was going to go after that because there had already been one co-host change. And I was like, maybe we're done here. Cause what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going back to doing it myself. I can't go back to Taylor because I've been doing it live. I need someone local.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I mean, hope was there. I mean, I was fucking upset. I was really upset. It was doom and gloom, dude.
Tear shedding moment. Yeah.
I mean, it was real close to there not being a show anymore.
Yeah. And that open letter, you can kind of hear it in your voice.
That was,
but we'll get,
that got tense.
We'll get to that. After.
But yeah, so, So anyway, so, you know, Matt was like, you know, early March, early to mid March. He's like, I'm done. Can't do it anymore. I was like, dude, can you hang on till April 1st? And he was like, yeah. I mean, what's April 1st? I'm like, it's April Fool's Day. And he goes, oh, yeah, dude, I'll definitely, I can hang on till then.
It's kitten sparks, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because we had done his first introduction to the show was an April Fool's joke with Taylor.
I remember that.
Oh. It was Taylor said he wasn't, I mean, this was, I think, was that an April Fool's joke the year before? Yep. Or the 2 years before? It was an April Fool's joke. It was, you know, I called Taylor and he said he didn't want to do the show or when, I don't remember. It was... And then we had Matt in the other room and he was out there drinking beer, watching the Flyers. And I called him from Skype and I was like, Taylor doesn't want to do it. You want to come down and do it? He's like, yeah, I'll come down. Like the worst character acting of all time. He's fucking in the other room. Like you probably hear me in the background. April, probably of, yeah, of 07. Yeah. 07,
because I was in the picture December of 06.
Right.
And then it was a couple months still of Taylor. And then.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, so. April of 07, okay. and then so yeah. The year before, we do this big joke with Matt taking over for Taylor. So we're like, I'm like, you know what would be funny is if we do an April Fool's joke that you're quitting. And he was like, I'm about that.
Yeah.
And then and I was like, well, we can't do the same gag. We got to get a little more creative.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we need a radio consultant. And I was like, because that would be fucking hysterical.
That was your idea?
I think it was my idea. And I was like, we could have this radio consultant. I was like, who do I know that could play this part?
And
my
sound,
friend Brent.
Yeah. What does he do?
I mean, he worked a corporate job.
So he knows just bullshit.
Yeah, he can just bullshit.
Going
but he likes talk radio, so he understands the business. And
so he's perfect.
But he's never worked in it, yeah, but he understands it, and he understands the corporate world, so he could play that part really well. The best part is, 2 episodes before Brent came on as a consultant, he just happened to call in the show because he was listening to the show and he's like, hey, I'll call in and say hello.
My dudes. Yeah, yeah.
So Brent calls in 2 episodes later. I'm like, hey, I'm going to bring in this consultant. I want to improve the show. Here's the consultant, Brent, the same guy from 2 episodes ago. Did anyone catch it?
No.
Nope.
Fuck
not
no.
A fucking person did.
Nope.
And they'll say that they did, but they didn't. Someone figured it out later because they were listening
later.
Backwards.
Yeah. But no one,
not at the time. Yeah. No one got it. And, and so he came in and he actually took it very seriously. And he you know, he's from the corporate world.
It
so
seemed very, it was 2 episodes, right?
2 episodes. Cause there was the one where he came in and he was giving us notes while we were doing it. And then he came in to read the results, I think, or maybe we just read them.
Yeah. I remember cause I had listened to the show and I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
it was
convincing.
Actually compelling, you know, it was cool.
Well, I mean, he got real into it and did research and figured out like how consultants talk, what they think about, what their reports look like. Dude, and he emailed me a report, like a consultant report.
It's fucking thorough.
And
shit.
I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And he goes like, I don't want to offend. Like, I hope this doesn't offend anyone because, you know, he got to the point where he was making criticisms that were real.
Yeah.
Like some of them were actual real criticisms that we actually took to heart
to
going
make it
forward.
Legit. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so then he, you know, he gave the report.
He came up with that.
He like, typed out it, dude. I probably still have it on one of these computers and it's funny. I mean, he definitely has it. I'll get it from him, but it was, I mean, he sent this report and then we all looked at it and it was brilliant. And then, so then Matt, like at the beginning of that, when we're reading, I think he must've come back in to read the report. I don't remember how that worked. But Matt's sitting there furiously writing during the beginning of the show while Brent's going over stuff.
Notes.
And that was his like ending soliloquy.
Oh,
he was writing it during the show. and then Matt did his like, you know, goodbye thing. And the people got fucking mad at me, dude.
I don't understand that. I was just really sad. Why? What was the backlash?
Because I was the one that wanted
like,
to bring in a consultant.
You saw it. I didn't see what, or
but
hear
I had
it,
to
but
play the bad guy. We knew going in that I was going to play the bad guy. That was like, hey, we're getting this consultant. Oh, we all agree that we're going to follow what he says for the betterment of the show.
I still wasn't mad at you. You're the only one, dude.
Because there was a lot of people were like shitty fucking emails, dude.
Really?
Yeah, like really mean. Insulting, really shitty. Made me not want to ever do it again.
Over a free podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, like I was real. My feelings were super hurt.
I would be too. I mean,
like you're a piece of shit. Like you're a hack. Like your show is always soft. Matt was the only one that made it good. Like that kind of. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Fuck this. Like I don't want to fucking do it now. Like, how about fuck you guys?
Because you don't press any buttons and run the show.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have anything to do with this motherfucker. I just sit and yap my gums. But no. So I mean, it was. Yeah, it was a really shitty time. Yeah. Actually, like real shitty. And then, but there was, I mean, there were some people that were really like, also there, I'm not going to say everybody was shitty, but there were some people that were really supportive. Like, dude, like I understand what you're doing.
I never even called in. I had left voicemails, once in a while.
Joy from Downingtown. Yeah.
Birdman. Called me Bird. Anyway.
But yeah, so it was like a lot of shitty stuff.
There was, yeah. But there was a really cool episode that came out of that with Travis. Was it Travis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that's then, yeah, that was in, and I didn't know what to do. So I was just like, hey, I'll do little small episodes with some of my friends that don't really get a lot of mic time, but they have a fucking great story to tell. I mean, Alex the Tattooist was on one of them. Yeah. I mean, we did, Hope and I did one, just me and her.
Yeah, that was cool.
Paulie, I think we had one Paulie show. And there was, and then Travis, which was, I mean, compelling. That guy's compelling.
So many stories.
To say the least. Yeah. And that one sadly wasn't live, but we did that one pre-recorded when he was hanging out for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fascinating to me. I'm fascinated by anything that dude has. That guy's, he's back living in Alaska. I don't know if you knew that.
Like savagely?
Well, he's living, his girlfriend has a house, but like he spends a lot of, he has a cabin on this property. I know there's no cabin yet. It's like a tent.
Yeah.
Or a trailer.
So he's still half like. Pioneer. Yeah.
Oh, he's big time pioneer. Yeah.
That's cool, man.
So, but he's still working like high tech careers. But. Well, he grew up there, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, he does tech, but he lives in no man's land.
He grew up with no power in a plywood shanty, mm-hmm. like for real.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the most brilliant computer minds in the world.
Yeah.
Like no joke.
That was I think I listened to that episode like 3 or 4 times.
And I want to get more with him, but it's tough now that he's back up in Alaska, but hopefully someday we'll get an update. And I know he's starting to work on his book and he promised that I could write the foreword to it. So,
nice. That's fucking awesome.
So hopefully that still goes through.
So you had to juggle for a couple weeks.
Couple months, dude.
Was it?
It was a good chunk of episodes. I mean, I think it was at least 6 weeks, maybe 8. Where it was kind of up in the air. And then
what happened?
Well, and then Mike had quit. I mean, I'd always been friends with Mike when he was doing the Awful Show and stuff. And the Awful Show, I don't want to speak for Mike, but it was something he wasn't doing it anymore. He wasn't happy doing it anymore and had quit. And then shortly after he quit, I was like, hey, dude, he had done, I think, 2 of the fill-in episodes with us.
Mm-hmm.
For
those that don't know, the Mike had a show before the mediocre show called The Awful Show, which was high ranking in iTunes and was with three other dudes.
Yeah.
Right. So he had
out of Reading, not far.
He had his own thing going on.
But we did crossover stuff and we promoted each other and stuff like that.
Three-headed monster.
Yeah. And then
four.
No, it was three. That was before Mike. That was me, Taylor, Matt.
Oh,
during the Matt days.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When Taylor would come in on tour, he'd come and do the show. But we did the Awful Show's 100th episode, and they're actually we made shirts for that, and there was that was our first paying customer when we were doing shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And so I finally just asked Mike, I said, hey, dude, like, bail me out here. Like, I don't know if you're done podcasting in general. I mean, I think he was done podcasting in general.
Mm hmm.
And that's something he'd have to answer.
Yeah, he was kind of butthurt about the way he had left his previous show.
Well, I mean, I think that had run its course. And again, not to speak for Mike, but I mean, he didn't want to do it anymore. But I didn't know if that meant he didn't want to do a show at all.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, dude, can you bail me out here? Need a co-host.
And I think you did an episode without that pre... I mean, at least on the air without the...
There was. He was in one of the tester, the middle, you know, the limbo episodes.
He was just a guest.
He was just a guest because he was... It was before... I mean, his show was still going on.
Yeah.
And it was... I was like, hey, that was fun. Why don't you come and do that every week? Mm-hmm. And he had to think about it for a little while. Then he finally accepted. And it was podcrafting history.
And that was fucking... What, 2 years ago?
I can look at iTunes and try to figure it out. Yeah, it's been a while, dude. Time kind of flies.
Fuck.
Let me see if I can scroll back through. He just passed the second re-up, remember? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's over 2 years, definitely. Wow. Yeah, his contract was up again.
Around his birthday, too, because I was going to do peanut butter pilot, and then I waited for his birthday.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
By the way, this is so old school mediocre with
hope in the background. Yeah, yeah.
I know. I have a microphone a foot away from
this. This is like behind the podcaster studio. That's the name of this episode.
You know, it's actually funny that you say that because I've been wanting to do a series of that. Did I ever tell you that?
What is your favorite frequency?
I've been wanting to do that for a long time, dude. Is kind of do just not, I mean, and I would jokingly call it, the Podcrafter studio or whatever, but I kind of wanted to do that with just, you know, talk to people. What you do it more than I do.
Yeah.
It's just talk to people about stuff. So maybe when you're in jail, I'll steal that from you.
Do it.
No one will know.
It's not an original idea. It's just something I like to do when
I intend to do that at some point. So maybe when you get out, we'll talk about jail and podcasting in jail.
I'll have plenty of stuff to talk about. But, okay. So, the mic joins. And I guess, was it that summer was the first live party? At first, it was just a party.
Yeah, because...
I think it was...
Yeah, because it was the second annual. Yeah, so it was the first summer after Mike was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just the party at the Wishing Well, and that was a lot of fun. That was it.
Independent, no celebrities.
Yeah,
an independent podcast. And
a couple hundred people showed up. Maybe I'm inflating that in my mind later, but it was a lot of people. There.
I was there and from nationwide, that's an achievement. And then, fast forward to this past March and you do a remote live show.
Yeah. That was a blast.
Teamed up with the geek show at geekshow.com.
Milked a pig.
I did some stand up. South Philly Paul did stand up and that was fucking one of the coolest experiences of my life.
Yeah, that was a great time.
You guys, it must have been fucking spectacular. You know,
led in by a bagpipist.
Yes,
come
that was
on,
pretty fucking rad. Yeah, but to take your again independent, self-made podcast to another city and fill a theater full of people to listen to you—that's fucking. And that's awesome, dude. That's an achievement.
In the bosom of the Prophet Smith. I mean, like in Utah of all
in,
fucking
yes,
places.
Salt
you know
Lake
what I mean?
City, man. Which I was surprised. There's like, and I may have said this on some show, but like there's a higher ratio of like hipsters, not just hipsters, but people with tattoos and stuff than in other cities because they're rebelling further against
I think
the
that's
Mormons
true
and stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's but more we have more P1 listeners, but like very active, very very excited, very like very
so if you've
connected listeners
Salt
Lake,
in Salt Lake. There's like very cool people there, and yes, there's some crazy Jizos there too.
Yeah, but that doesn't. I mean. It's not going to affect your day to day.
Nicest people ever.
Yeah. Mostly. I mean, I had a blast out there. I wouldn't trade. That was
and
an amazing
the city
trip.
Is set up beautifully on a grid system. You don't have to say, turn on Jenkins Road. It's a number.
Right. You're using goddamn map coordinates.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good city planning. The whole, whatever.
Let's talk about city planning.
Anyway, that's quite an achievement.
And, it was an achievement, and it was a blast, and just putting.
And I think everyone involved did well, and the crowd loved it.
Oh yeah,
and the crowd loved it. And So then we had another live event.
Yeah, the end of that trip was one of the first times that I've been recognized because of the show in public.
Oh, really?
Beyond being there for the show, getting on the plane, coming home.
Really?
Got recognized. Well, it was for being on Radio from Hell that morning.
Oh, really?
But someone recognized me and Hope from it.
That's cool.
That was really cool.
I don't think you told me that.
Yeah, that was kind of... That was a really cool moment. That was a very cool moment.
Yeah, and you got to go on the Salt Lake City morning show.
The country's longest running morning show.
Really?
You know that?
Did not.
Yeah. Radio from Hell, longest running with the same cast in the country.
That's awesome. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And you came home. We had another listener party. This time the venue was slightly different.
It was wrong.
It was wrong.
It was the wrong venue.
But you live and you learn. It was the World Cafe Live in Philly, which is kind of a big room with restaurant style seating with big spaces. It's not a performance oriented setup in there.
Yeah, for sure not.
So that show didn't go so well, especially for me. But still people, this is their third event
away from home, spending lots of tall money to get there.
From Seattle.
Yeah.
Fucking
speaking
Ohio.
Specifically of Harry Trucker.
Yes. All over, man.
Yeah.
All over Utah.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm proud of you, buddy. It's good to be a friend.
Thanks.
And thank you for like helping me out with building my shit. You plugged the shit out of it when it started, and I'm definitely not done. It'll just be a little hiatus.
Summer camp. That's all.
Yeah.
Winter camp.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, man. If we didn't believe in you, we wouldn't promote you. You know what I mean?
And I appreciate that.
And if we didn't enjoy what you do, we wouldn't plug it.
Yeah, and this is just a big chin check. These 3 months is just a big chin check to fucking go for it even more.
You just got
to
step up. That's all, dude. It's,
JFDI, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's all we need to say here.
I mean, that is true.
Thank you, Eric Tomorrow. And if you want to know, I mean, if you don't listen to The Mediocre Show and you're listening to this and have no idea what we just talked about for the past hour, go to mediocreshow.com. Go to iTunes. There's 400 episodes for you to listen to.
Now on Stitcher also.
Stitcher Radio.
You could probably get that in prison.
Bam.
Probably not.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I don't think you can.
I doubt it. But how do you feel about that? Don't they put ads on your material? Because I know.
Hey, if they do, that's, I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care about it. There. Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, like, you know, it's another place for me. I don't think that Stitcher does, though. I think people pay for the app, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe they don't. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
It's more ears, and
cool.
I'm fine with it. But they don't stop us from doing our advertisement.
Right on.
You know what I mean?
Right
so
on.
It's like I'm getting mine and I'm getting more ears
not
on
taking
it.
Taking money.
I don't care. And it still counts as a download when people listen. So
that's true. So, check out The Mediocre Show and also live Wednesday nights at 8:08 in the PM.
Yeah.
On Arecibo.com.
That's true.
And, thanks again.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Hope. We had some excellent Chinese dinner.
Yeah, we did.
And now it's time to watch the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for having me, dude. Seriously, it was a blast, and I'm gonna miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss everybody.
Oh,
yeah. I'll make it.
You're gonna write us letters, though, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be writing
for real,
writing like a motherfucker.
All right.
Not just letters.
You have our home address, right? We'll make sure you have it.
Yes, yeah. I do have it. I mean, okay. I have it. But until we meet again, keep your powder dry.